Turn up the laughs this summer with SBS. The Parasocial Social Club sees comedians Jenny Tian and Kevin Jean swapping sharp, funny takes on life, friendships, and all the awkward moments in between. Comedy Karma brings you Australia's best comics as host Aditya Gautam uncovers the story behind their favorite jokes. Listen now on the SBS audio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to SBS News.
Donald Trump has started 2026 with US military strikes on Venezuela, threats of an invasion into Greenland, and a continuation of his administration's tariff trade war with friends and enemies alike. While such shocks have become familiar during the controversial president's two terms in office, they're increasingly testing the tolerance of America's partners and prompting fresh questions in Australia. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney highlighted these concerns in his address to the World Economic Forum in Davos earlier this month.
Every day, we're reminded that the rules-based order is fading. The strong can do what they can, and the weak must suffer. And faced with this logic, there is a strong tendency for countries to go along to get along, to hope that compliance will buy safety. Well, it won't. So what are our options?
In response to President Trump's trade tariffs and his stated desire to make Canada the 51st state of the U.S., Mr. Carney's government has chosen to move Canada away from its historically close relationship with its southern neighbor. Dr. Emma Shortis, Director of the International and Security Affairs Program at the Australia Institute, is one of a number of experts who argues it's time for Australia to do the same.
This is a president who is unconstrained and who is incredibly dangerous. For Australia to tie not only our own security but the security of our region to that is incredibly risky and undermines our regional relationships. That risk will only increase as Australia remains tied to this rogue power that is going to continue acting out. You know, there's not many universes in which Trump's behaviour becomes constructive.
A November YouGov poll commissioned by the Australia Institute suggests that only 16% of Australians believe the United States is a very reliable security ally, while a previous poll in May found that 54.2% wanted a more independent foreign policy. So what has led so many to question an alliance that has defined much of modern Australian history? The economy and national security are two key pillars of the US-Australia relationship, often cited by Labor and the Coalition. Dr. Shortis argues the economic relationship with the US has become increasingly volatile under President Trump.
The Trump administration has ripped up Australia's free trade agreement with the United States. It is trashing all the rules of global trade, which were, of course, imperfect, but which for the most part benefited Australia and you know, created prosperity in Australia. Trump is trashing that. And that is a risk to our security, our economic security.
Meanwhile, Greens Senator David Shoebridge has also been calling on the Albanese government to reconsider this relationship on national security grounds, arguing Australia's close alliance with America is a threat if a war with China were to break out.
What we're doing at the moment is not making Australia safer. We're putting Australia on the new front line if there is a conflict between China and the United States, and we're inviting ourselves into a conflict that is not our strategic conflict, that isn't based upon our values and isn't based on our national interests. So our relationship with the United States, far from making us safer at the moment, is inviting us to Donald Trump's next war.
Supporters of the alliance argue that in a region marked by China's growing military presence, the relationship with the US has become more important than ever. Executive Director of the Institute of Public Affairs, Scott Hargraves, says it's naive to believe Australia could avoid conflict with China if they were to aggressively expand their influence in the Indo-Pacific.
If we're talking about a scenario where China actually embarks on a series of military adventures, be it into Taiwan, which then brings it into the Japanese sphere of influence, the idea that Australia could simply sit that one out and would not be impacted merely by curling itself up into a ball, that is a plea for unilateral disarmament. I think it's worse than naive to believe that simply by jettisoning the US alliance that we could sit this one out. Our trade routes, our trading relationships would all be tied up with any conflict. And of course, by building up our own defence force, We're simply adding to the equation that the best way to maintain peace is with a credible deterrent.
In a recent Sky News interview, Foreign Minister Penny Wong said the US remains Australia's closest strategic partner, most important security ally, and she insisted that this will remain the case in the future. But Senator Shoebridge says in the wake of threats to Greenland and Venezuela's sovereignty by the US, the Albanese government needs to be doing an urgent reassessment to ensure Australia stands on the side of international law.
It's extraordinary that at a time when we're seeing Australia's most dominant ally engage in repeated acts of lawlessness, that we've had almost silence from the federal government, the Labor Party. And I think millions of Australians, though, are asking ourselves, how is it we're not reconsidering our relationship with the United States? And instead of doubling down on what is increasingly a rogue regime, looking at ways to decouple ourselves from the United States and start standing proudly on our own two feet.
It can be difficult to comprehend what this decoupling of the US and Australia could actually look like. Dr. Emma Shortis says a first step from the federal government could be scrutinizing the deals and alliances it holds with the US, such as the AUKUS submarine deal, which could cost Australians up to $368 billion.
So I think a starting point is with democratic accountability and scrutiny of the deals that we have with the United States in the first place. And I think what that could look like, for example, is a parliamentary inquiry into the AUKUS submarine deal, which the United Kingdom has had an inquiry, the United States has had its own review. There's no reason that Australia can't have a review of its own. That will bring up many questions, I think, about Australia's broader relationship with the United States, issues of sovereignty and independence. And I think that can, I suppose, get the ball rolling in what a reframed relationship with the United States might mean.
What leaders like Canada's Mark Carney are pushing for is for middle power countries like Canada and Australia to draw closer together rather than orbiting a major power like the US or China.
Middle powers must act together because if we're not at the table, we're on the menu. But we believe that from the fracture, we can build something bigger, better, stronger, more just. This is the task of the middle powers. The countries that have the most to lose from a world of fortresses and the most to gain from genuine cooperation.
Dr. Shortis says this focus on interdependence is key.
So building up our regional relationships in particular around climate action, around public health, around education, around the things that really do make us safer, and building our networks and relationships in that way, much in the way that Mark Carney described, you know, building coalitions, building alliances around shared interests and around shared values.
However, Mr. Hargraves from the Institute of Public Affairs says much of the appeal of Australia to its neighbours is its close connection to US power.
We shouldn't underestimate the degree to which that matters to countries in the Asia Pacific region, that we are seen as part of an alliance structure with the USA and NATO countries. So the idea that this would somehow be an alternative to build relationships with random other middle-ranking countries around the world, I think is very naive and would actually detract from what is still our most important strategic alliance, one which we should be nurturing just as we have for the past 7 or 8 decades.
While he did not name or criticize President Trump directly, the US leader did not take the Canadian Prime Minister's Davos speech well. In response, he revoked Canada's invitation to join its so-called Board of Peace initiative and threatened to impose a 100% tariff on Canadian goods if they follow through on a trade deal with China. Senator Shoebridge says it's also fair to assume that any step away from Australia's close relationship with the US could see a retaliation from Trump.
But I think we could expect retaliatory action from the Trump regime. But I think that highlights the need to do it now. What that looks like is refusing to support a significant part of Australia's military hardware, which has been purchased from US arms contractors. But when it comes to tariffs, if the United States wants to engage in a tariff war with Australia, that would be an exercise in extreme self-harm to the United States. It's a relationship that, on the trade level, greatly favours the United States.
Sam Dover, SBS News.
the most terrifying thing in the world to me is I go to the beach and I end up on Bondi Rescue.
I always worry as soon as I can't feel the ground beneath my toes when I'm swimming.
I'm Suren Jayamana and I have never learnt to swim.
I'm Sashi Pereira. I'm going to help you to learn how to be more comfortable in and around the water.
Head Above Water is a mini-series of the SBS Australia Explained podcast. Just follow the show in your favourite podcast app.